for one for whom the duality or plurality or diversity is real. Real means relatively real, empirically real, but in whose vision non-duality is absolutely real. See, man of vision does not deny the duality. Duality, he accepts the duality very much, but how does he accept? He accepts the duality as relative or empirical reality, not as an absolute reality. Whereas for Ajnani, what is relatively empirically real is absolutely real. That stems all problems. Whereas Ajnani is the one for whom non-duality, the one vision of, he has doubt-free vision of the oneness of reality. And that vision of non-duality is what absolutely real. And duality is also real, but empirically real. Relatively real. And because what is empirically real is mithya, not satyam. What is absolutely real alone is satyam. What is satyam alone is absolutely real. What is empirically real is mithya. And mithya and satyam are not two different things, because satyam has independent existence, whereas mithya without satyam has no existence at all. Therefore, it has no independent existence. That is why we have to say whatever is empirically real duality, the plurality, the multiplicity, which is mithya, is nothing but absolutely real, satyam. Therefore, one in whose understanding it is very clear that the whole jagat is the world of objects, which is inclusive of his own mind, body and senses, the entire body mind complex, everything is mithya, and which is which does not exist outside of the pure awareness, the pure consciousness, which is the self, which is one indivisible, partless whole in which the diversity has its existence. And such a person is the one who revels in happiness, who revels in fullness, who revels in limitlessness. Because for him, fullness and the self are not two different things. Pure knowledge, the pure consciousness or pure awareness, three words are synonyms. Three words imply the same reality, the same satyam. And which is, fullness is non-separate from the reality. If we ask, what is this? What is this? Now H2O in the ocean. H2O is the satyam, if you say, and which part of the ocean, which part of the wave, which wave is not pervaded by H2O? It is all pervasive, sarvagataha, which you have already studied in the earlier verses. Sarvagataha. If it is sarvagataha, it must be what? It fills everything. That is why sarvam purayati iti purushaha. Pure ushati iti purushaha. That which indwells every wave is what? Purusha, the H2O. Understand? And that which fills the entire ocean, that is what? Purayati iti, fills everything, is what? Purushaha. So H2O is purushaha with reference to wave, with reference to entire ocean, because there is no wave exists outside of the ocean. Similarly, there is no object of knowledge, no knowledge, no knower is outside of awareness. So awareness fills everything. Awareness, therefore, where is awareness? Being full is the nature of the H2O with reference to ocean. Does H2O need to do, does water need to do any action to fill the ocean? Does it need to do any action to fill the ocean? No. So, to filling the ocean is what? Being full is its nature. How H2O is, if you say, this is what we have to understand. The nature, when you say, that is how it is. Being full is the nature of H2O with reference to ocean. Similarly, with reference to the whole jagat, the world of objects, when I say, which includes every mind, all the sense powers, all the powers of organs of actions, all our physiological functions, all our body, all our everything, everything, the mobile, immobile, inert, sentient, insentient, everything, all the objects are nothing but what? Full of awareness, in fact. So we say, it is, there's no place where it is not. So being full is the nature of the awareness. Being full, when you say, a being full implies, and there's no time it is not there, there's no place where it is not there, there's no way where it is not there. Similarly, what we say, kalataha, deshataha, vastutaha, aparichinnaha, atma. Kalataha, deshataha, time-wise, deshataha, spatially, vastutaha, object-wise, it is limitless. There's no way which is not H2O. There's no place where the H2O is not there in the ocean. There's no time when the water is not, H2O is not there in the ocean. Isn't it? Never. Irremovably, inseparably, irremovably, distancelessly, it's always there as the ocean. Similarly, what is here? Now, there's no time when consciousness is not. There's no space where consciousness is not. No place where consciousness is not. There's no object which is not pervaded by consciousness. Therefore, we say what? Kalataha, deshataha, vastutaha, aparichinnaha. Time-wise, spatially, and object-wise, limitless. It's always there. Everywhere it is there. It is in everything, it is pervaded by this. Therefore, that we say, that awareness, the being full is the nature of consciousness. The being full, make it a noun, fullness. It is swarupam. Fullness is synonym of limitlessness. Limitlessness is the happiness, synonym of happiness. So being happy means being limitless. How limitless? Vastutaha, kalataha, deshataha, vastutaha, aparichedyaha, aparichinnaha. So being limitless means what? Being full. Therefore, being happy is happiness, being limitless is limitlessness, being full is fullness. Therefore, where is the inadequacy? Where is inadequacy? Then the person who has, whose mind has been resolved in that limitless reality, the consciousness, as its truth. Like wave, when the truth of the wave being water is understood, wave being mithya becomes understood, then wave being non-separate from H2O is understood, Wave is in fact wave being resolved in its satyam. Similarly, the whole thing, say that the man, the person who has understood various, because we know very well the reality of the whole jagat, even though it is full everywhere, it is available for recognition only as the subject of knowledge, as the very self, as the meaning of the word I, as the substance of the substantive I, the first person singular pronoun. When you understand this, you will understand, and this every thought, which all the thoughts which constitute the entire mind, the mind does not have independent existence outside of the awareness, And he dissolves this I sense in consciousness. Then there's a thing which is not consciousness. All that is there is only awareness. Where is the? To the man who has resolved his I sense in awareness, thereby, who can say, no, who doesn't say actually, who understands, I the self am awareness, the consciousness. And for such a person, the inadequacy also becomes resolved. The needs become resolved. The desires become resolved. Why? Because there is, he revels in fullness. So resolving the I sense, ahankara, in the Atma Swarupam, its own Swarupam, the awareness as Mithya, knowing the consciousness as Satyam is what? In fact, resolving one's identity with Ishvara, resolving one's individuality and totality, and wherein there's only way one becomes free from limitations, one resolves the wrong notions one has about oneself. Also, that is when he revels in fullness. Because he does not actually attain fullness. Fullness is already the very Swarupam. It's a question of recognizing it. He recognizes, he revels in fullness. For such a person, the man of vision who revels in fullness, he is free from desires, he is free from all limitations and inadequacies. Therefore, and for him, he is not dependent on anything external for his being full. No, for his happiness, for his fullness. Why? Fullness is very Swarupam. Not dependent. It's like the tube light is not dependent on other torchlight to be revealed, to know, to be revealed whether it's there or not. It's very Swarupam is self-revealing, isn't it? Like that, I'm saying, fullness is the Swarupam, therefore he's not dependent on anything external, the situations or people's behavior or, you know, success or failure, anything for his happiness. That's why Atmanyeva Atmana Tushtaha Sthita Pragyaha Iti Tada Uchyate. That is when he is known as Sthita Pragyaha. And that is why situations external will be desirable or undesirable. Shubham Ashubham Prapya Na Abhinandati Na Dveshti. He remains the same. Why? Only you will be shaken, you will be moved, you will become weak, only if you are dependent on situations for your happiness. A jnani, so situations are desirable, he will be the same. Why? Because situation, he is not dependent on situations for his happiness. Undesirable situations do not make him unhappy, make him feel dejected, or desirable situations do not make him happy, add to his happiness. Is the same. Dukkeshu anuddigra manaha. Even when he is in pain, not he is in pain, even there is, when there are painful situations, but he is not shaken by those situations. He is very objective towards the pain in the form of thought. You know, don't think that there is no pain. There is pain. Even for a dukkeshu anuddigna manaha, an ajnani becomes uddigna manaha. He's broken. Why? Because he internalizes the pain. Why? Because pain, he is very subjective, no? He is not objective towards the pain. For him, pain is, I am painful, I am sorrowful, I have pain, I have problems. That means what? Identity is very much with the mind. Therefore, he is not able to be objective, he is subjective, and then therefore he has pain. He is shaken by the pain. He is really tormented by the pain. Whereas a jnani is objective. Objective. Therefore, because of his objectivity, jnanam, one can be objective. That's why dukkeshu anuddigra manaha. Sukheshu vigatas pruhaha. If he is now, he does not desire or passion or longing or craving for pleasures also, because any craving, any desire, any passion, any attachment is possible for something only if there is dependence on that external given thing for one's happiness. For a man who revels in fullness, anything available, it is bonus. It is not that also their person always is in fullness. Therefore, the one who revels in, one who has the vision of non-duality of reality, one who sees all that is there is manifestation of the only reality, in such a person, no, he is not moved, shaken by anything. He is the man of strength. Man of strength means the knowledge is the strength, knowledge is security, knowledge is protection. That is why he knows the, like, how when this, when any, this turtle, when really it senses any danger, it withdraws its limbs and then, you know, and it keeps itself inside a hard shell. Like this jnani also, one who is not, nothing which can make him unhappy. There's nothing which can make a jnani unhappy. How can, which anything which is external can make the person of fullness feel inadequate? Nothing can shake him. So whenever the situation is not okay, he can still be with himself, revel in fullness. You know? That is why he is the person of fullness, and such a person na abhinandati na dveshti shubham ashubham prapya na abhinandati na dveshti, he remains the same. So we saw till now this jnani. So the what Shastram says is all that a human mind wants is happiness, the fullness, which is a choiceless end, which is otherwise known as moksha, which is not to be attained, which is something to be discovered, and discovering the fullness which is already there as the very swarupam is what? Knowing the self. Discovering this, knowing the self is discovering the fullness being the very inseparable swarupam of the self, the atma, the awareness. That is where one can resolve all one's problems, the so-called problems caused by ignorance. And then one does not need to do anything, to achieve anything, to change anything for one's happiness. All our efforts are always to do something, to modify something, to change something, not to anything, is always for our expression of our inadequacy. The pressure caused by, the irritation caused by our inadequacy, the sense of inadequacy, the sense of being inadequate. Now, therefore, this discovering fullness, all these fullness will be resolved. That is what we saw till now. The jnani is this. Therefore, you discover, know the self, discover fullness, know the study, understand, do shavanam, then reflect on what you have heard. And see that all your doubts resolve slowly, then have clear understanding, then constantly dwell upon that Swarupam, which is meditation, which should be preceded by Shravanam and Mananam. Not, there's no contemplation, there's no other meditation. Meditation means always meditation which should help you discover fullness. Now, the meditation which helps you discover fullness is what? Meditation which helps you to have an ascertained vision of the self being pure consciousness. The tatyam being the pure consciousness. That is what is the actual thing. So that meditation means one has to contemplate upon the nature of the very self, which for which one should have known the self very clearly, for which one must have done mananam, for which one must have done shavanam. The shavanam and mananam, two steps involved before contemplation, which will help one have this knowledge. Okay, such a person is a free person. We have here. So the last one we did. Yeah, that is why. What happens? Desires also go away from him. All the sense objects also do not enter into his mind. That means what? whatever he sees, no object, perception of any object does not cause any desire for that object, passion for the object, or even some hatred for the object. There's no reaction, nothing happens in the mind. Why? Because if you are not dependent, suppose the given object makes you feel unhappy, makes you feel happy, pleases you or displeases you, or an object, you really creates in you my mind some desire for that object, all those things, not always, immediately thoughts do arise. When you perceive something, thoughts do arise. You see somebody, lots of thoughts come about the person, about something. When you see an object, lots of thoughts come. When you see a given place, lots of thoughts come. Very natural. Thoughts come and there will be desire, there will be anger, there will be hatred, there will be jealousy, there will be anything. So many thoughts can arise. The perception of a given object, a given person, a given behavior, given situation, a given thing can really naturally give rise to rising of new different thoughts. But jnani's mind, no thought arises like that. That means he is not affected. No thought arises means what? Jnani sees, because why? Because Jnani is a person of fullness. The person of fullness is not shaken by anything. There's no passion, there's no anger, there's no hatred, there's no jealousy, there's no desire also, there's no attachment also. Why? Because there's no dependence. The man who is free from emotional dependence completely is the one person who's not shaken by any perception. That's why people always ask you to go and see the natural things, like big mountains, rivers, beautiful valleys, green fields. No way, when you see them, or some natural birds and things, when you see anything which is natural, that is when we do not expect them to be different from what they are. So that we are at ease. That is how we learn to. When you see a mountain, suppose you go, the people go for picnics and pilgrimages, and then at excursions or holiday. When you see the snow, the covering, a place covered with snow and all that, you don't expect it to be, white is. I want it to be black. You don't want it to be white in color. When you see a big mountain, you don't expect, I don't like this mountain standing all the time like this. I wish the mountain walks. I don't like this. We don't expect. Why? When a river flows, I want this river to stop. I don't want it to flow all the time. This ocean, my God, why is it making so much of noise? Why can't we be still? You don't expect. No way. We know. A mountain means mountain will be a mountain. We don't expect a mountain to be different from what it is. Why? Because we know it cannot be different from what it is. It is the way it has to be. Similarly, the ocean, similarly, the river, similarly, anything natural. That is why when we are with the natural things, with the real things, and you don't expect them to be different from what it is, therefore you are not disturbed. But when we see other people, other situations, other things, when you go and see, why Raniji bought this mic? I wish it is something, but it's a little different it is. Always, we expect things to be different from what they are. Because of the irritation. Why? That expectation on my part, for the other things should be different from what they are, is expression of my irritation, which is my, inadequacy. The sense of inadequacy superimposed on me, on the self, that expression. So, there's always that shows. I expect things to be different from what they are. Similarly, I see this, nice, I should buy something like this. I don't like this. Either you say this or that. How beautiful it is, I should definitely have it. Let me start budget, thinking of how to get it. Like all these types of thoughts will come. Whereas for a jnani, whatever his vishayaha vinivartante vartante nivartante vinivartante, they just remain outside as they are. Even if they, he perceives, not a jnani does not perceive, not a blind person, not a, he is not a deaf person. Jnani may see, he may, can hear. So all the objects, sound enters through the ears, objects, you know, also go to the mind through the eyes. He perceives all five objects, but nothing, everything goes in. Understand? No. It cannot do anything with the mind. Why? Asya parandishtva vinavartante. Seeing the fullness, the mind which revels in fullness, there cannot be any thought, any desire. See, it's not that jnani does not give up desires. He is free from the hold of desires. Desires have left him. Because where there is fullness, there cannot be desires. That is why we don't need to make effort to give up desires. All our efforts must be to know, to discover, not to give up anything. That is why vishayaha vinivartante, they do not, you know, cause any change in him. They do not bring about any desire in him. Vishayaha vinivartante. Niraharasya dehi. Niraharaha. Why? Because nothing, ahara means that which is taken in, that which gets imprinted, that which starts dwelling upon the object is what? Sahara. Understand? So object doesn't even enter here. There's no food, no intake of, that means no registration of the objects. That means he knows, he sees, but no object really can win the heart of the jnani in the sense to be desired. Where there is fullness, there cannot be inadequacy, there cannot be needs, therefore there cannot be desires naturally. What happened to the desires? Desires got resolved. Desires do not arise at all, naturally. The very desire is expression of the needs. The needs are expression of the inadequacy. Inadequacy, understand now, inadequacy is possible only if there is no, if the person, you know, does not know what fullness is. It is like, you know, I see both, you know. I see, I told you last class itself. I caught a fat, thin Rodney G entered into the class. Can you say that? No, Kevin. Hey, either you must be thin or you must be fat. I can say tall, thin. Or short, fat. Or tall, fat. I can say that. But so, aviruddha dharma, no? Viruddha dharma. Viruddha dharma means what? So, no? Two things which are opposed to, two attributes which are opposed to each other cannot coexist. Tallness and fatness can coexist. Shortness and fatness can coexist. But how can tallness and fatness, shortness can coexist? No. Similarly, fullness and inadequacy cannot coexist. Fullness and needs cannot coexist. Fullness and desires cannot coexist. That is why jnani is free from desire, hold of desires. Vishayaha vinivartante. Why? Because this niraharasya dehinaha. Okay? Because this nothing is, nothing really is, can go in. For the man of fullness, when the person is completely independent emotionally, you know, I mean, he's not dependent on anything external for his happiness, then everything is the same. Vishayaha vinivartante niraharasya dehinaha. Rasavarjam. Now, rasaha api asya param dushtva nivartate. See, no, this, there, where there is fullness, even the, now, the desire disappears. Cannot do anything. Everything is insipid. No, because what is there? For a person of fullness, nothing is really attractive. Therefore, all these verses repeatedly emphasize one thing: know the self, discover fullness, being the very self, and resolve the inadequacy, limitations. You know, then you are free. That's one thing which has been said in all these verses. Main thing.
Yatato hyapi kaunteya, yatato hyapi kaunteya, yatato hyapi kaunteya, yatato hyapi kaunteya. Purushasya vipaschitaha, purushasya vipaschitaha, indriyani pramathini, indriyani pramathini, haramti prasabham manaha,
haramti prasabham manaha,
tani sarvani sayamya,
tani sarvani sayamya,
yukta asita matparaha,
yukta asita matparaha,
vashehi yasyendriyani,
vashehi yasyendriyani,
tasya prajna pratishthita,
tasya prajna pratishthita.
Okay, we have to read these two verses together to know about the jnani. No, I can keep, because I can see from here. It's not bad. So here, what he says, the first verse talks about the mind. Then the jnani is the one who has mastery over such a mind. And who, you know, is a jnani. The jnani is the one who has mastery over mind. Completely, he is not a slave of the mind, master of the mind. And one who has complete mastery over his senses and the mind. And which mind? Look, he is talking about the mind, first verse. Manaha prasabham harati. Harati. No? Mind drags. Manaha harati. Prasabham manaha. In fact, all the senses drag the mind. Mind is not very easy to hold the mind, the attention of the mind. You know, indriyani yatataha api he kaunteya. Yatataha api. Yatato hyapi kaunteya purushasya vipaschitaha indriyani pramathini haranti prasabham manaha. So indriyani haranti. Senses grab. Senses trap. Trap. Senses are now really drag the mind. Towards what? Towards the objects. Indriyani haranti. Indriyani haranti. Senses haranti means take the mind away. Prasabham, forcefully take the mind away. Indriyani haranti manaha. The senses take away. How? Eyes take the mind towards objects which are seen. Hearing power takes the mind towards, you know, the sounds which are heard. Nose takes the mind, of course, to all the fragrances and flavors. You know, of course, touch also takes the mind towards, you know, the objects, the heat and cold. So our mind is distracted, responds to what is. Oh, it is warm, immediately remove everything. It's too warm, too cold. No? Where is attention? On the cold. On the, no, it's natural. I'm not saying you should not say that, okay? Please understand, it's very natural. That is how mind is. Mind is very responding. It immediately responds. Whatever the sense power reports to it, it responds. Oh, it is. Oh, it's too bright. Oh, it is too dark. Oh, these books are so nice. Something, you know, it always reports. Sense powers report the respective corresponding objects to the mind. Sense organs are the reporters. If they don't report, mind keeps quiet. You know that. Mind can keep quiet. Sense just report. So indriya, then they report. Then when the objects are perceived by senses and they then reported, then what happens? Mind is reported about these objects, external objects. Immediately, my attention of the mind is taken towards, dragged towards the sense objects. What say do we have over the mind? I've been telling every class, like how the involuntary functions are there. Like how we don't have any say over the functions of the heart or lungs or kidneys. They're all involuntary functions. Similarly, mind also is what? We have to understand mind is a function. Mind also is a function. What say do we have our own mind? Mind falls asleep. Maybe drinking too much of coffee and tea can keep you awake for some more time. If you don't sleep, then you sleep next day morning, next day later on. You have to fall asleep. Maybe you can want, sometimes you may dream, sometimes you may not dream, and you wake up. What else can you do? Can you keep awake all the days without falling asleep? Can you sleep always without waking up? You have no say over it. You can keep awake for 2 days, and 2 days you can sleep also. But it's not possible always. And similarly, the thoughts arise. All the thoughts arise. Please understand, we do not have any say over our mind. Mind is a function. What say do you have over your own heart? Can you say, come on, rest for some time, you can pump the blood afterwards. Can you say that? Stop inhaling for a few minutes, okay, no problem. Please stop. Do you have any say? Thank God they don't question, so they're all in proper order. Only when you abuse and they go on strike and then some problem comes. That's why we have problems. Otherwise, we have no say over the function. That's why they're involuntary. If we have say that we can voluntary, okay, then we should have will involved. No. Your will is not involved in any of the functions. So also in the function of your mind, all the thoughts arise. Sometimes dull, sometimes enthusiastic, sometimes not happy, jolly mood, sometimes angry, sometimes different moods, very natural. And situations work on us. Situations also, becomes a nimittam, instrumental for surfacing of given states of mind. Climate, very hot, get angry. Very cold, dull. Nothing works everywhere. Oh, I called so many people and nobody responded. Then all these situations become instrumental for our own thoughts to surface. The situation also is not responsible. Understand? Situation only becomes instrumental for a given thought to arise and given state of mind to be there. So mind is a function, and that's why mind, and when senses are a mind, attention of the mind is very alert, it is always with the sense powers, and especially in waking state, whether night or day, in waking state, sense powers report about the objects, and things, some things go in, suppose we are lost, nothing is registered. If you are very alert, when you are with the senses, you are very alert and attentive to the sense objects, naturally thoughts, the registered objects perceived become registered. Then what do they do? Immediately the desire will come, because inadequacy is naturally there. Ignorance is there naturally. Therefore, in the sense of being small, the problem of smallness being centered on I is there naturally. Therefore, I am small in terms of small human things, but naturally the smallness is there. Naturally, the sense of being inadequate. Now, the sense of inadequacy is there. Therefore, all that, this naturally the pressure, I want to be somebody, I want to be different from what I am, is naturally there. Naturally there. Okay, then immediately the mind, no, okay, possession of these things, holding on to these things, make me better. Accomplishing this will make me different. Achieving this will change my status. No, owning this will improve my position. Knowing this will change my, influence, lots of things. So we always the constant pressure. That is why always sense objects can easily sense through senses. Mind is always grabbed and trapped towards the, sense objects. That is why indriyani manaha haranti. They take the mind away. Attention of the mind is taken away towards the sense objects. Senses take away the mind, attention of the mind towards the sense objects. How forcefully. I thought very powerful. The senses are very, very powerful. Prasabham haranti. Pramathini indriyani. Prasabham haranti manaha. Very natural. I'm not saying you should not get up. I'm not saying don't sin. I'm not saying anything don't and do. Okay, I'm just saying. It's very natural. This is how the mind is. Manaha indriyani, pramathini indriyani, prasabham manaha haranti. For whom? Even vipaschitaha purushasya. Those senses drag the mind towards the sense objects. Even the senses of the person who is vipaschit, who is discriminate, highly discriminate. Vipaschit means the man of discrimination, who knows what is real. Who is yet to have vision ascertained. What is real, what is not real, what is mithya, and then who knows what is permanent, what is not permanent. What is nityam, what is anityam, what is satyam, what is mithya, who knows? And who knows where there is happiness. Happiness is swarupma of the atma. There is no happiness in anything which is external, which is object. No, there is no happiness in a given object, anything which is an object. Happiness is the very swarupam of the subject. Therefore, if there is no object which is outside of happiness, the fullness. Every object is fraction of fullness, expression of the fullness. Every state of mind is the expression of the fraction of fullness. Any pleasure also is what? The state of mind is a fraction of fullness. Every object is an the expression of fullness, in fact. Manifestation of fullness. Therefore, fullness is not in a given fraction, the object. But fullness is the very nature of the subject, the atma, the self. And one who knows this is a vipaschit. Vipaschit, the man of discrimination. The discriminate person is vipaschit. Vipaschitaha purushasya. Vipaschit purushaha. Discriminate person. Vipaschitaha purushasya. Even the senses of even the discriminate person. Even discriminate person's senses also have the capacity to, very powerful, that they can forcefully drag the mind towards the sense objects. That means they can make the mind extroverted. They will not allow the mind to abide to be by itself, to be with itself, to be with its own sarupam. They are not alone. That is the nature. So, indriyani manaha pramathini indriyani prasabham haranti kasya purushasya vipaschitaha api purushasya. What to talk of ordinary people who are not discriminate? What to talk of indiscriminate people? People who are not yet very clear, what is satyam, what is mithya is not clear. What is nityaha, what is anityam, what is nityam, anityaha is not very clear. Where happiness is not very clear. We mistake the pleasure for happiness. So we get attached to the sense objects, you know, for pleasures, seeking happiness. We mistake the artha and kama, which should serve as means to live this life, to discover fullness for the ultimate ends. Then he is an indiscriminate person. We need artha, we need kama to live the life, to discover fullness. We are living this life not for artha kama. We are living this life to discover fullness. But to live the life, we need to pursue artha and kama. But what we do, instead of expecting the artha and kama to serve, no, to live this life, we are living this life to pursue artha kama. That means indiscrimination, isn't it? It's what? Indiscriminate person. For a discriminate person's mind also is taken towards sense objects, means what to talk of the indiscriminate one. Vipaschitaha purushasya. And who is this person? Who knows what is real, who knows what is not real, what is mithya, who knows what is permanent, who knows, because how? Because shravanam and mananam, he knows what is mithya, what is satyam, what is permanent, what is not permanent, who knows where there is happiness, who knows when discovering happiness all problems will be resolved. Such a person who is constantly making efforts to be in contemplation, yatataha api vipaschitaha purushasya. Yatan purushaha means what? The man who makes constant effort, the person of adequate proper efforts, yatan purushaha. Yatan purusha means the one who makes efforts. See, knowing this, by shravanam he has understood, by mananam has understood. Now, who is trying to ascertain this vision of the oneness of reality, even for such a person, yatataha api, even for the one who makes efforts to ascertain the vision of oneness of reality, knowing very clearly, with discriminatively, what is satyam, what is mithya. Even for the person who makes efforts, who is discriminate-minded, even for such a person, it's natural for his mind to be taken away towards sense objects by the senses. It is very natural. But who is here? You are talking about not the one who is making efforts still. We are talking about the jnani. Who is the sthita pragyaha? That is the question. This is how the mind is. Mind of an ordinary person, don't ask. The mind of a don't ask about the senses of sense organs, of the sense powers of the indiscriminate person. We are talking about the discriminate person. One who is constant, one who has purushartha nischaya, one who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge, one who is committed to the accomplishment of the ascertained vision of the reality, such a person who is making constantly efforts, to focus on the nature of reality, one who is making efforts to focus his attention on the nature of the reality, even my attention can be dragged by the senses towards the sense objects. That is the nature of the mind. Yatataha vipaschitaha purushasya api. Api is what? Even. No? Yatataha vipaschitaha purushasya api manaha indriyani pramathini indriyani prasabham haranti. This is the prohada. But who is a jnani here? Who is a jnani? They say next shloka. Tani sarvani samyamya
tani sarvani samyamya.
So jnani is the one samyamya, no, having had master, having actually completely mastered, having had the mastery over those senses. Whatever the sense power reports to him, no, naharati. One whose mind senses do not, senses cannot drag towards the sense objects. Okay? That means jnani must be, even the wise person is a strong man, we say, in the vipaschit. And a jnani is the one whose mind cannot be dragged at all towards any sense objects. By the, and that's what I'm saying. That means what? Does not mean jnani does not see the sense objects. He does perceive objects. He's natural, he's with like everybody else, but now there's no motion happens on the part of the jnani's mind. There's no change happens. That means he has complete mastery over senses. Means what does it mean? If there is fullness, who is the one who can have complete mastery over the senses? I tell you, unless and until one discovers the fullness as the very sorup of the self, thereby one resolves one's smallness, the problem of smallness being centered on I in the fullness, it is impossible for one not to get dragged, not to get tempted, not to get, you know, pulled towards the objects. It's impossible. So the jnani is the one who revels in fullness, the one who is free from this problem of smallness being centered on I, one who is free from the sense of inadequacy, one who is free from needs, one who is free from the hold of desires and passion, one who is, no, the person of fullness, and he has complete mastery over his senses. Therefore, samyamya, he has completely mastery, he has complete mastery over senses. No sense power can ever shake the mind of a jnani. Why? It can report any number of things. That means he has mastery over his senses. Indriyani samyamya, tani indriyani samyamya, kani indriyani, pramathini indriyani, the force, the powerful senses who drag the mind of even a wise person, discriminate person, you know, who constantly makes efforts to be focused on the nature of the reality, even his mind, you know, the senses can drag. But this jnani is the one who has complete, you know, control over this. Control, I don't want to, I never like to show the control. Okay, has complete mastery over the senses, because if there is fullness, nothing can really create hatred or like in the mind of a person. That is why, in my hatred or like, no, likes or dislikes, we say any like and dislike is just the surface, state someone which surface, for which the object becomes instrumental. Anitham. It's all expression of one's inadequacy. So, yatataha, so he says, yatataha api vipaschitaha purushasya he kaunteya pramathini indriyani balavatno prasabham manaha haranti. But tani sarvani samyamya, such senses, such powerful senses, having mastered them completely, having had them, no, tani sarvani samyamya yukta asita matparaha yuktaha as an integrated minded. Yuktaha means integrated minded. Yuktaha, and also yuktaha means what? We can say one whose attention of the mind can never, always in awareness, the sorupam of the Atma. Yuktaha has two different meanings. One meaning is Yuktaha means integrated. Integrated in personality means one whose thought, word and deed are in alignment. Now, one whose thought, word and deed are identical. Thinking, talking and doing are the same. Nothing contradicts with anything else. Actions do not contradict with what the person speaks or what the person thinks. That is what is being, that is Yuktaha. Integrated personality is Yuktaha. Yuktaha also means the one whose attention is always focused on the nature of reality. How is it possible? Once you know very clearly, your attention will always be focused on the nature of reality. If you know. If you do not know, first you have to know, then learn, contemplate. In constant contemplation, you try to focus attention on the nature of reality. Then once you very clear for you what is reality, then you will never miss it. Once gained will never be lost. Why? Because Swarupam. If it is not a Swarupam, it will be lost. Understand now? Anything gained will be lost. You know that. But here Swarupa Jnanam gained. You never attain the Swarupam. You never attain fullness. You only attain the knowledge of fullness. Vision of fullness. Once you gained, the vision gained will never be lost because it is Swarupam. Always be there. That's why he say here, you know, is yat indriyani sthane sarvani samyamya mat paraha yuktaha asita. Mat paraha means what? Mat, Krishna says mat paraha. Now one who's, one for whom the reality is the absolute. The one for whom reality is the param. Aham paraha yasya. The one for whom aham implies consciousness. The one for whom the reality is the absolute, he is matparaha. The one for whom objects are paraha, he is tatparaha. Answer now. What paraha means what? First, oh, reading the book is absolute, ultimate for me. Then you are book paraha. Eating food, tasty food is the ultimate, you know, for me. Then bhojana paraha. Watching TV series is the absolute for me. Oh, that's the best of my entertainments. Whether your TV serial paraha. Or holiday paraha, holidaying paraha. You know? Whatever is ultimate for you, absolute for you, then you become that paraha. Nidra paraha. Some people, oh, I love sleep. All of them sleep, sleep, sleep. Now, whatever can work? Artha paraha. Artha. First, you know, earn, make lots of money. You know, have more and more of assets. Artha paraha. Kama paraha. Enjoy pleasures. Go. Have all types of pleasures. You know. Enjoyment is the absolute for him. Then he is kama paraha. Dharma paraha. You know, living a life of dharma is the ultimate for me. Then dharma paraha. But jnanam eva paraha yasya. Jnanam is not attend, no, accomplishing the knowledge is ultimate, then jnana paraha. So now being the self is the absolute for whom? Is aham paraha, tat mat paraha is whom? No, mat paraha means the one for whom the reality is the absolute. Is mat paraha. So for this person, who is the one who has complete mastery over senses? The one for whom reality, which is available for recognition as the very self, as the meaning of the word I, as pure awareness, you know, as pure knowledge, is the paraha. Such a person can have mastery over senses. If aham is not paraha, no, knowing the self is not the absolute, then whole jagat will be param for you. Everything, you will be attracted towards everything. Mind will be always distracted towards so many things. going after something and then being there for something and leaving aside, again going to something else and going to something else. Because I tell you, mind will never be satisfied with one thing. Change is a must for the mind. It will be going on changing things. No way. Because there's nowhere what it seeks. Until and unless it discovers fullness, it'll be leaving. It'll hold on to something and leave it for after some time. Everything just very interesting in the beginning will become very insipid and useless. And sometimes it becomes the object of love and like, it will become object of hatred. And it will go to the something else. Why? Always it goes constantly searching one after the other, whole life, age goes, you know, like anything. Searching for happiness, 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 happiness. Not knowing it is searching for happiness. Not knowing it is searching for fullness. That is why all this, you know, people know, that's why all these holiday planning people, the tourism people, you know, they are successful because of the nature of the mind. You know, because we have to go like that. That is how we go, it goes. Because in search of happiness, in search of fullness, but not knowing you are searching for fullness. Whereas it's for the jnani, for the wise person, has complete mastery over his senses. Why? Because he does not search for fullness. That is why he is able to have mastery over senses. Does not search for fullness. Why? He has already discovered fullness. Where? Not as an object, not in an object, but as the very subject. Not even inside. I don't want to say inside. There's no inside, outside for fullness. Not as the very self, as the truth of the mind. As the very meaning of the word I, one discovered fullness. Such a person now has complete mastery over senses because he is not searching for fullness. If you are searching for fullness, you cannot have mastery. The poor's now mind will be just going after the senses, afterwards all the sense objects. So tani sarvani samyamya. That means where his attention is. Attention is not available for the senses to be dragged. So where is attention? Matparaha, yuktaha, asita. Attention is always focused on the nature of reality. He can never miss fullness. He can never miss awareness. Because the man of ascertained vision can never miss awareness. When you see the opaque objects, you don't need to remind yourself of the fact that you are always inseparably, invariably see the light along with the opaque objects. Do you have to remind yourself? This is so casual, so natural for you. What every opaque object you see, what you cannot miss along with it is what? Light. Can you ever miss it? You see, you could go to different places, see different objects, different types, but in every perception, in perceiving all the opaque things, what you cannot miss along with that is what? Light. Do you have to make any special effort to remember that, oh, light is there, in the presence of light, I see all the opaque. Do you have to remind yourself? No. This so knowledge is so clear, you never miss the light. You know, you can never miss it. That is why I told you many times, Bhagavan is called Achyuta. What cannot slip away from your perception, in your perception of opaque objects, is the light. Understand? That which does not slip away. No, oh my God, for a second the light slipped away. I saw only the object. Can you say that? The light slipped away means object also slipped away. At least the light can slip away, but awareness will never slip away. The whole jagat is not there in deep sleep state. Awareness is. In dream is there, awareness. Awareness is, therefore deep sleep state is known. Awareness is, therefore dream is known. Awareness is, therefore jagat is. Perception is, knowledge is, recognition is, all the thoughts are, because awareness always is. When is awareness missed? When is it missed? when kada chutaha bhavati atma, when does it becomes, when does it become slipped? It never slips away. No, never slips away. That's what we say here. Now, one who, the person of which one has ascertained, one who contemplated upon the nature of the Atma, thereby as a result of one who is always in contemplation, the one who has ascertained Vishnu of the reality, the one, just as we do not miss the light in perceiving any opaque object, effortlessly we see the light along with the object. In fact, we see all the objects in the light. Similarly, the one for whom everything is in very awareness. Now, such a person is the one who revels in fullness. One who revels in fullness, his attention always is where? Yuktaha matparaha asita. One who remains focused. Focus means what? Effortlessly. When you focus, I try to focus means you make efforts. But do you have to focus your attention on the light to know that there's light? No. Effortlessly. No, you always, the one whose attention always remains absorbed in awareness is Matparaha. Understand now? One for whom the reality is the absolute, thereby one whose attention remains absorbed in awareness all the time, always. Yuktaha matparaha asita. Such a person has complete mastery over sense, revels in fullness, therefore nothing really attracts him. Therefore, naturally, without any effortlessly, naturally has mastery over senses. When we talk about we have mastery over senses, means we may have to make efforts. There is a strain. But jnani has no strain. Know that. Because effortless. Effortless. Therefore, yukta asita matparaha. Tani sarvani sanyamya yukta asita matparaha. Yasya vashe indriyani. How is it possible for him to have mastery? Now, all the senses are, you know, under his control. Yasya vashe indriyani. Indriyani jnaninaha vashe. Jnani is not indriya vashe. Jnani is not a slave of the senses. But the senses are completely under his control, under his mastery. Yasya vashe indriyani. That means he has complete mastery over senses, has complete mastery over the mind, because he one who revels in fullness, therefore he has mastery over the external things also. Understand? Tasya prajna pratishtita. His knowledge is firm, doubt-free, and ascertained. Tasya prajna pratishtita. So, this question comes. We have to have mastery over senses, then you will have the vision. That's not true. If you have the, if you try to have mastery over the senses and mind, their effort is involved. Had the vision, reveling in fullness, you have mastery over senses means effortless. Got the idea? Got the point? It doesn't involve any strain. There's no difficulty. Otherwise, that's very difficult, isn't it? Otherwise. That is why Shastram repeatedly says, you know, that's why Purushartha Nischaya is very important. Purushartha Nischaya is very important. Once the mind is very clear about the ultimate end being moksha, then that moksha is something to be discovered is also very clear. Then commitment to the pursuit of knowledge will be possible. The commitment with conviction is there, then it is possible. Then everything becomes effortless. Then even the effort is involved, but still it will be fruitful. then it is easy for a jnani. So first it talks about how, what is the nature of the mind, what is the nature of the senses, how senses can drag even the mind of a person who is discriminate, you know. Therefore, we don't need to talk about the indiscriminate people. And here, jnani is the one who has complete mastery over senses and mind. That, you know, that means because he revels in fullness, he is not searching for happiness. Because his attention, he has ascertained vision of the reality. Because his mind is always, you know, what? Mind remains absorbed, mind abides in fullness, the vision of the truth. Matpara, for who? For him, the reality is the only absolute reality. For whom reality alone is the absolute reality. There's nothing other than reality is absolute for him. Is it clear? Okay. Yata tohyapi kaunt. Okay, we have to read the two verses together, okay? It doesn't make sense.
Yata tohyapi kaunteya. Yatato hyapi kaunteya purushasya vipaschitaha purushasya vipaschitaha indriyani pramathini haranti prasabham manaha haranti prasabham manaha Tani sarvani sanyamya, tani sarvani sanyamya, yukta asita matparaha, yukta asita matparaha, vashehi yasyendriyani, tasya prajna pratishthita tasya prajna pratishthita
then after that
what is
vashaha means control actually under the control see yasya vashe jnaninaha vashe indriyani bhavanti say nanda kumarasya vashe Bhavan asti. Bhavan is under his control. Mama jihva mama vashe asti. My tongue is under my control. Like that. No, vashaha means, okay, you can say, mama patni mama vashe asti. Sometimes. Patihi bharyayaha vashe asti. Patni bhartuhu vashe asti. Vashe asti. Putraha mata pitrunam vashe bhavanti. Mata pitroho or mata pitrunam, I said, for all parents in general. No, vashe, vashaha. Manager vashe office asti. Supervisors vashe workers bhavanti. Vashaha. Vashaha means, no, being under the control of something. This means having say over. Having say over something is what? Being able to have say over something is vashaha. Understand now? Vashaha. That's why paravasham. When you listen to in Sanskrit, in English, Indian languages, in all Indian languages, they say one thing. My God, I was listening to the classical Carnatic music, you know. The melodies are so beautiful and so melodious songs. When you listen and listen and listen, the ragas, the melodies actually take your mind away towards themselves. Completely you forget. You are lost there. Then we say, Paravasha Madindar. No, he has, no, he was just, he was not, he has lost his senses. You say paravasham. Tasya vashe. Sangeeta vashe. Nritya vashe. Dance vashe. Music vashe. Vashe. You can just be becoming absorbed, having complete say over something. Being able to say, having say over something is what? Vashaha. Now I can say Mama Vasham. Where is the specs? You say Mama Vasham. Upanetra Mama Vasham Asti. Vasham or Vashem, because that's locative. Winfred Vasham. Mama Vasham means it is mine. It is mine as my possession, it's my within my territory, my control. Mama Vasham. Tasya Vasham. His control. Like that. We say. So here, all the senses, Yasya Vashe Indriyani. Indriyani, all the senses are completely under mastery. I don't want to say control. Control involves effort. Mastery implies effortlessness. Intellectually, Vashaha implies control actually. Vashaha. Suppose if you are a slave of something, you are that Vasha. Oh my God, I cannot live without coffee in the morning. Early in the morning, I need strong, nice, flavored coffee. South Indian coffee, not English coffee. If I say, Radhaji wants English coffee. Then he wants, I'm coffee, Vasha. I'm a slave of coffee. Like that. I'm coffee Vasha. No, I want to understand the meaning. See the different contextual meanings. That's why if you see the reading, read translations, they all would have used the words control. Because control involves effort. But mastery implies effortlessness. Naturally. That means what? Senses cannot drag the mind of a jnani. The mind which is searching for fullness, which is suffering with inadequacy, alone can be tempted, dragged, distracted towards objects. The mind which revels in fullness cannot be like a rock, cannot be moved by anything. Then what do the senses do? They are simply there. So what happened to his Vasham? Understand now? He has complete mastery. It's clear now. That's why you always place your mind in Bhagavan, then placing the mind in Bhagavan, placing the mind in reality, placing your attention of the mind in Swarupam will help you to resolve the problem of smallness be hinted on. Whereby you can have complete mastery over everything. If you have mastery over your mind, you have mastery over your senses. If you have mastery over your senses, you have mastery over the sense objects. If you have mastery over the sense objects, you have mastery over the whole jagat. This is what personal management. Okay? Yatato hyapi kaunteya. Yatato hyapi kaunteya purushasya vipaschitaha purushasya vipaschitaha indriyani pramathini bharanti prasabham manaha Tani sarvani sanyamya, tani sarvani sanyamya, yukta asita matparaha, yukta asita matparaha, vashehi yasyendriyani,
vashehi
yasyendriyani, Tasya prajna pratishthita, tasya prajna pratishthita. So this, having explained the first verse, tasya prajna pratishthita, his knowledge is firm and steadfast and doubt-free, ascertained. Whose knowledge? The one who has mastery over senses. How? Who is the one who has mastery over senses? One who has mastery over the mind. Who is one who has mastery over the mind? One whose attention is placed always in reality as the absolute. One for whom the reality is the absolute. Listen, there will be one who revels in fullness. It is over. Okay? The next shlokam tells how the desires are, no, desires come into being. So, you're talking about this. And then actually, how one can be lost. I was going to say the two verses again, we have to read together. We'll just read the verses. I think we had to, the time is very restricted here.
Dhyayato vishayan pumsaha. Dhyayato vishayan pumsaha. Sangasteshu pajayate. Sangasteshu pajayate. Dhyayato vishayan pumsaha. Dhyayato vishayan pumsaha. Sangasteshu pajayate.
Sangasteshu
pajayate. Sangat sanjayate kamaha.
Sangat
sanjayate kamaha. Sangat sanjayate kamaha. Sangat sanjayate kamaha. Kamat krodho bhijayate. Kamat krodho bhijayate. Kamat krodho bhijayate.
Kamat krodho bhijayate.
Krodhat bhavati sammoha. Krodhat bhavati sammoha. Krodhat bhavati sammoha. Krodhat bhavati sammoha. Sammoha. Smriti vibhramaha. Sammohat smriti vibhramaha. Sammohat. Sammohat smriti vibhramaha. Smriti vibhramaha. Smriti bhramshad. Smriti bhramshad. Buddhinashaha.
Buddhinashaha.
Smriti bhramshad. Smriti bhramshad. Buddhinashaha. Buddhinashaha. Buddhinashat pranashyati. Buddhinashat pranashyati.
See how objects naturally, you don't need to feel any guilt. Shastra study really relieves you of the guilt. First thing. Then it will relieve you of the hurt. First guilt has to go. Added, no, you yourself add too much to yourself. First relieves you of the guilt. I should not have disease. I should not have it. Who said? You can have many diseases. If you don't have disease, you are not normal. Therefore, it is very natural for the mind, attention of the mind, to be tempted, to be taken away, to be taken towards these sense objects. Because the senses are given for that. We have seen earlier, no? When the senses come in contact with sense objects, they're meant for using. You had they meant for perception, perceiving objects. You had used the best, make the best use of the senses. Bhagavan has blessed you with all powers. You can see all of them, all the objects. So they will report also not. They do the job perfectly well. They report whatever is there. Provided the attention is there with them. And once the mind, now the objects get registered in the mind, and the mind cannot keep quiet because mind always wants to lean on something or the other. Wanting to lean on something or the other, or leaning on something or the other, is the nature of the mind. The mind is like a delicate darling, tender creeper. You know that? The creeper, the strong stemmed tree can stay by itself, stand by itself. But any delicate creeper, tender creeper, it cannot stay like this by itself. Either it will fall and it will start crawling, it will spread all over the floor, land. Or it needs some support, always it needs support to lean on. It can never stand by itself. This mind, delicate darling, also is like the tender creeper. It always needs to, it has to be hooked on something. Now many people talk about the hook, getting hooked, okay? And then, that is why it always leans on something or the other. And some object goes into the mind through the senses. What happens? Mind starts thinking about the object. As I was coming, I saw that shop, I saw that object, and 50% reduction sale, that is more attractive again. And then I saw 99, anything 99 and less. I really want to go to the shop. 99p and less than that. Not even 1 pound, okay? I want to go and buy rubbish, Raniji was saying. I want to go to the shop, I said. When I saw 99 pen and less, Raniji, I want to go there one day. I said, as I was coming. He said, you want to buy rubbish stuff or what? He said. Now, what I'm saying is, look at this. Mind saw that. You know? Vishayan dhyayati. Vishayan dhyamanaha, vishayan dhyayati. The mind starts thinking of the objects. Dhyayati means what thinks. With attentively. With any distraction, it thinks only about a given object. Something is very attractive, it starts thinking, dwelling upon it, meditating upon it. I saw the object, how it works, how useful it is, how nice it is to have it, what is the advantage of having it, what all, how, you know, it can, I can really use, how useful it is. It's not thinking about the object, how useful it is, how nice it is, you know, what a pleasure it is to have it, how time conserving it is, time saving it is, energy conserving it is. Lots of advantages, think about it. Is what dhyanam, vishayat dhyanam. Okay, vishayan manaha vishayan dhyayati. When the object gets suggested in the mind, it starts dhyayati, it starts thinking. Then vishayan dhyayataha pumsaha. If for the person who starts thinking of the object, teshu, no, sangaha jayate. Then naturally, once you think of all the points of the object, the advantage of having that object, then naturally you think sort of you really become attached to the object. That is what. Possessing that will make my life more comfortable. If you think it's okay, but you think that will make me very happy. You do not say it will make me very happy. I'll be very happy if I can get one. No? What sangaha? That thinking is what? Sangaha upajayate. If you do not think about the object, its sangha will not be there. Sangaha is possible only when you think about the object again and again and again and again. You think, the more you think about the object, the more you think about the cruise, you go and book the ticket. Hear about the thing. Yeah. So, vishayan dhyayataha pumsaha teshu sangaha upajayate. One sangha is there, you know, I need to have it. That will make me happy. Without that, I won't be comfortable. Kama, desire. Understand now? Sangat sanjayate kamaha. Desire to fulfill that. The desire gets fulfilled and there'll be another desire for something else. That desire gets fulfilled, there'll be another desire for something else. Desire is always dushpuraha analaha, insatiable fire. The more you fulfill, the more fuel you give the fire, the more it will ask No putting his tongue outside, the fire, the flames of fire are said to be tongues of fire. They'll ask for more and more food for consumption, know that. Like that, the desires also, the more you fulfill, the more desires will be arising. You can't undo the disease. You can't ignore the disease. You fulfill the disease, more desires will be coming. That is the nature of the desire. Suppose the deficiency does not get fulfilled, naturally the unfulfilled desire becomes converted into anger. Kamat krodaha abhijayate. Okay, we'll see next class. What happens? We'll see. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.